Yes, it's true. We're still in business on the Leaf Hour edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake the Snake Schultz. Everyone's favorite day, according to my Sammy McKee's lineup, the locker room clean out. How exciting.
I said, Sammy said, we should run last year's show and see if anyone notices. play the one from last year.
Oh, hold on. Before we begin, okay, so what's the deal? Because I know there's always been slogans in the Leaf dressing room, but you're telling me that there's one.
I was having a laugh. Mark Lazarus tweeted about it today, but it's the Leafs did their podium today beside a sign that says, and the punctuation's not great. It says, no grit, period. No grind, period. No greatness, period. Like, it could be like, no grit, comma, no grind, question mark, no greatness. Or like, but it just says, we have none of these things.
Oh, God.
No grit, no grind, no greatness.
And it's something that you would never notice until, like, you notice
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and it's like, God, that feels, in lieu of what happened here, it feels particularly dark.
I can't. Like, what's different from yesterday? What do we want to talk about today that's different from yesterday?
Well, first of all,
quotes.
To be totally transparent, didn't hear a word of the comments today made by Berube or any of the players. I've lived it, I've done it, and was expecting nothing out of it today.
Yeah, I think that's like the PR goal is don't say anything, you know. Wear it a bit.
Yeah.
Don't say anything.
And
controversial.
Get out of town as quick as you can.
Yes. Get your stuff out of here. It's why they have, what do they lose? Was it Sunday night?
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday at noon, they're free to go.
Yeah, they spent the holiday Monday thinking about it, and then they fired it up and started it today. But I don't know. I find these locker cleanout days are just so pointless for the players and pointless for the coach. Like, I really am at the point where the only people I really want to hear from at the end of the year, I guess you got to hear from the captain. I guess you got to hear from the coach. Like, I understand it. But the only real meaningful thing to me would be either the president or the general manager. Like, ultimately, you want to hear what they have to say about it, right?
That's coming.
Tomorrow, probably.
Soon. I'm not sure when.
Okay.
But it's coming. But it's one of those days where you think you're going to get nothing out of it, which most often you do get nothing out of it, but you can't avoid it. Mm-hmm. And the masses still want accountability, whatever that means, to show your face into a camera and come up with whatever you can. And we'll be no different in this hour. We're going to take whatever we can and break it down to say what we think it means or what the avoidance is or what we're going to read between the lines. So let's go. Let's start.
I think, you know, and I'm not just saying this, I think that's a strength of our show. I think we, you know, have both done enough media and seen this enough that we have some idea, you know, who's saying what and what they want to say.
But imagine if they didn't come out today and how they would get ripped.
If they were just gone, for sure.
Right?
You have to do it, but I'm just talking about the general concept of a locker cleanout day is just – maybe it's just because here, like, I listen to every single thing today. I listen to it live, and maybe I'm just still mad about the on-ice product, but it didn't piss me off like it has in years past, because maybe I'm just used to it. Maybe it's just Stockholm, so I'm a little bit numb to it, but it just wasn't eventful as it usually is to me. Is that fair or no?
Yeah, the only messages I got were that it seems like Craig Berube hadn't heard, you know, wasn't aware of the last few years here in Toronto where people were tired of hearing close, right? Don't care. No one cares if they were close. But anyway, let's get into it and then we'll start.
All right, let's start with the head coach's comments, opening statement, I guess we'll call it.
Yep.
Clip one, Craig Berube.
Yeah, first I just want to, talk about our season. You know, I think our team made a lot of great strides this year, did a lot of things, accomplished a lot of things. I really enjoyed working with this group. I really like this team a lot. I like the people on in the organization, the players. You know, just the buy-in from the players for me, coming in here new and fresh and changing the style, changing the focus of how we're going to play. And, you know, just the professionalism and the buy-in from the players was excellent. Right through the lineup. Work ethic and practice. Work ethic in the gym, and then obviously onto the ice, the commitment they made this year. You know, we all look at game seven and nobody's happy, and that's understandable. But did a lot of good things this year that I'm very proud of.
Okay. Here's a question. I do the last part, maybe. Ugh. But here's a question for you, Kip. The players did buy in and change the way they played.
Yeah. Yeah.
They did. They became a different style of hockey team this year by the numbers, the analytics in terms of puck possession, shots, you know, all that sort of stuff. They got caved in this year, most of the games. But they did win a lot of hockey games, and they won big hockey games. Do you think there should be any reflection from Berube on does that style work with this team?
Yes, but I don't think he was prepared to go down that path, and I'm not sure if, in all honesty, like the majority of the media is savvy enough to have asked them that today. Yeah. They're just, I mean, they most of them do a nice job. There's a few out there that are actually really in tune, but that type of sophistication that you're talking about, nobody at the rink would even ask that.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm not sure if he'd be prepared to even answer that.
Maybe that's a summertime reflection, you know, for them.
But just listening to those that statement and that opening remark from him, I listened to him, and it's absolutely a guy that's still fresh and new to this. That speech that he just gave about we still did a lot of great things and we went... That speech would have been great for this team 2 or 3 years ago.
For sure.
More than that.
We're right there.
2019,
it's
maybe.
Just,
we're right there.
So that one would have been great for the start of something that's moving forward or in the middle of something that's moving forward. Mm-hmm. But he's giving it at the end of something.
Well,
It is. It's the end of an era in so many ways. And you don't look any further than, you know, Mitch Marner and John Tavares, being at the end of the line right now. And I don't know what that means in terms of Tavares coming back or not, but if they don't, you're talking about close to 200 points out of your lineup next year. It's going to have a significant impact. And in many ways, although Matthews will come back, Nylander will come back, many of the other players, Tanev, and I don't know where Morgan Riley sits today, but many of them are coming back. It's going to be new. It's going to be the start of something new no matter what.
It's funny, you know, you mentioned about him being new, the phrase, we did a lot of great things. You know, he says at the end, which kind of made me wince because, God, did Sheldon Keefe get buried for, you know, a lot of respect in the handshake line this year, you know, because we're right there. We're a tougher out. You know, that was something that for years was like, ha ha ha.
I think, but from his perspective, and a lot to your point about him being new, for him, from his perspective, like, you know, coming in first year, gets him to game seven in the second round against the Stanley Cup champions. In a vacuum, that is a good year. They did do some good things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. They won the division.
But not here. Not with the scars of this fan
not
base.
Not in year, is it 11 for Brendan Shanahan or 10?
I think he's through 11.
It would be 11.
Not in the 11th year of his program.
Yeah.
You can't get a pat on the back.
No.
This is, again, he's at the beginning of the end, Craig Berube.
And I think the onus is on him a little bit to know where you're at in the team's cycle as well. But it's tough for him because, like, what's he supposed to say? They didn't do anything good all year. He can't say anything about the overall success of the team. Like, he has to be his own
to break.
Resume a little bit, yeah. Right? And say,
yeah,
you know, perspective, guys. We did, you know, I get him saying that. But anyway, I get why people don't love it.
Yeah.
He couldn't answer the other night about what happened in Game 5 and Game 7. Did he revisit that, Sam?
Luke, our Luke Fox, mm-hmm.
who will join us in half an hour,
yeah. Asked him about the between the ears comment that he made after the game, and you know how it affect them, and what he just basically asked him to revisit that, and this was his answer. If you want to play it, there, clip 3.
When I talked about that and I thought about these games, you know, last couple days, and there's a lot of things that go through your mind in these big games, you know, from a mental standpoint. And, you know, you may not have your A game in these games, but what you have to rely on is your structure. And when I look at these games and I look at the situations that arrived and, you know, hurt us in these games, we lost our structure. And that's very important that we take this away and that we come back next year. Structure is very important. And if you don't lose your structure, you can get through these games without having your A game.
Chris.
We have, you know, the organization has...
Structure, then Sheldon, or sorry, Ruby says. I've heard that before. What did you?
Yeah, I don't like it because I don't like it because there's a team on the other side that will take a look at your structure and shut it down
and break it
pound right through.
To keep asking them to go back to the structure that's getting shut down by your opposition is no good. So either you make adjustments or you change your structure.
Or you lose.
It's not working. Mm-hmm. And for him to keep going back and ask them to do the things that aren't working is not helpful in trying to beat the Florida Panthers.
It's funny because the same thing that has earned him a lot of praise lately, that patience and that consistency of message, you know, can easily be spun to stubbornness and an unwillingness to adapt.
Or adjust,
yeah. Yes. And I think that's what we saw at times, yeah. There where it was like, all right, we just got to do this one thing better. And they kept trying to do the one thing better. And it's like, what if that's not the right one thing to be doing? And I think by the end of it, when you lose by 5 goals in Game 5 and lose by 5 goals in Game 7, even if you had done the thing better, would you lose by 3,
yeah.
2? You lose. Yeah. So, I don't know. There's some frustration
and,
there.
For listen, sure. If, for us and for people watching, it's... We praise... Hey, patience, great. He's calm, great. As long as you're winning, right?
Yeah.
But when you don't start winning and you try to stay consistent with it, and sometimes you can work your way through it and then it can come back in your favor. Listen, we're like the wind, man. You win, no one's going to say anything bad about your structure or your system or your patience. Or your calmness, but you gotta win. You gotta come out on top. And when you don't, people are gonna question it. And people have a right to question Craig Berube.
Yeah. And I think this is maybe the first time, you know, when they finally lost here, where you kind of hear some people going, you know, maybe we won't default to everything he says and does is exactly correct. You know, for a lot of the season, first year, benefit of the doubt and all that. But, you know, throughout the year, one of our criticisms was, let's try a couple of things here. Let's see if it works with this guy here or that guy there. Or try a second system, a second breakout. Never really happened. And then come playoffs, it did end up being, I would say somewhat to our credit, that ended up being what undid them at the end.
And, you know, to the structure thing, so, like, it's not between... Doesn't everything go when you're nervous? Like, aren't you like,
oh,
you
got thinking clear.
You lean back on your structure, being in your quote unquote, I've said structure more times than I've said it in my life in this last 5 minutes, but like, isn't that part of what goes mm-hmm. where you forget where you're supposed to be? You're not, you know, getting to your spot. Like, I'm not X's and O's here, but like being nervous and being afraid in a big game probably affects that structure. So,
you know, what's interesting is the story, Kip, that I'm hearing the most since the Leafs have won is this pressure story.
They lost.
What's that?
Since they lost?
Since they lost. Yeah,
you said since they won.
Oh, my bad. Since they lost is pressure. Yeah. And the pressure of the market and the mm-hmm. pressure these guys are under mm-hmm. and whatever. And I know we're going to talk about that, and these guys were asked about it a little bit. I got to tell you, I didn't hear one player on the Leafs say that the pressure got to them. I didn't hear a single guy say it, and that's good. It's like a story that came from the media only, and typically I'm not the
media. No, it was the Panthers.
Oh, sure.
The Panthers did it.
Sure. If the Panthers want to be the ones being like, they felt the pressure, that's fine. I haven't heard anyone. Everyone's like, these players who say they can't handle the pressure, they don't want to be in the market, or they can't. None of the players have said anything. This has been entirely the Florida yeah. Panthers. So I don't, we're all over these guys for talking about not wanting to handle the pressure of the market. None of them said it.
I don't think we've ever really had conversations that they buckle under pressure.
Well,
you know, I think we asked the question, why do they continually underperform in the big moments? And pressure's a viable answer to that.
But none of them
have ever claimed it.
But boys, I mean, we are part of the pressure. The pressure is a ecosystem of us that talk about it every day, the fans that care about it more than any other team, like just the ecosystem of pressure.
We don't
you got to do this or else, but it's all encompassing.
Do I feel sometimes if you're losing your confidence and you've got this market and crazy number of people that follow you on social media or mainstream doesn't get to you? Mm-hmm. It has to.
Of course it does.
It does.
But that's because everyone cares and is paying attention, which is exactly what you want if you're an athlete.
But it's not sneaking up on you either. No. For some of these guys that have been around 8 or 9 years.
Willie said it's all he knows.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he got asked about it. He's like, it's all I know.
That's why when they lose 3 regular season games in a row, Willie goes, what's the big deal? You know, he's been mired.
But he's smart enough to say, you know, what's the big deal? You know, not to say what's the big deal in the playoffs.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah,
you're right. You pick your spots there a little bit.
So,
doesn't really matter.
I don't know. I mean, again, they're just trying to defend it a little bit. I honestly, God, I tell Florida, just shut up.
I know.
We don't need you. We don't need you. We don't need your sympathy. Just scram, beat it. Go play your Carolina Hurricanes and get out of our town.
Yeah, speaking of vacuums. And I do think that this is where there's some legitimate jealousy from a team like Florida, who is on the cusp of whether you call them a dynasty or greatness or whatever you want to call it. And it's not that loud. It's not all that whatever. So I think for them, it's like they get to point at the Toronto market and go, oh, that would suck. I wouldn't want that. It's like, you'd kill for that.
Yeah, you had 10 people at your Stanley Cup parade on the beach.
You know, while you're having the success, you'd kill for it.
Yeah.
So I do think that that's why it's coming from Florida more than from Toronto. We're going to talk about the pressure because it is a story now, but I'm just saying I'm taking the Leafs guys off the hook on it because I haven't heard them say a word.
It was every question to every guy at the availability was, I think, the first question.
The first thing that comes to mind is they're not as good as the Panthers.
Sure.
And that's
fair take.
Flip their cities, is it any different?
That's it. You want to go and find little sorry excuses like pressure, dog ate my homework, I don't know, but... No, you just weren't as good as them. And if we went down the roster and we said, you know, Barkov or Matthews.
We did this yesterday.
You know, right? You take 6 of those guys before you take most of the Leafs.
The pressure factor, again, I'm not saying it's a non-factor into why these guys don't have big game success. I'm saying they haven't used it as a crutch. Because I do think it has some impact in terms of those guys in these playoff series. But sure. I'm just saying none of them have said that's why it's happened or used it.
Do you want Tavares' comments on pressure?
I thought Tavares and Matthews. Did I put the Matthews one in here? I thought I did. Okay, put the Matthews one on pressure first, please, Derek.
I don't think that's ever really something that
gets like talked about too much or too much of a focus on. I think, you know, it's the nature of playing in here. It kind of comes with the territory. And like I said before, I think it's an amazing place to play. I love playing in Toronto and playing for this fan base and this organization. And I think that kind of stuff is just kind of outside noise that isn't really focused on or talked about too much in our locker room, I would say.
Yeah, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe them.
I do too. I wish I believe them that they don't pay attention to as much as I think they do pay attention quite a bit. But he's saying the right thing there for sure.
Let's play Berube clip two on the pressure.
Greg, there's lots of talk about fan and media pressure in this market. There's pressure in lots of big markets and lots of teams are successful. Where do you land on that as an explanation for the team's shortcomings?
Like you just said it, and you know, there's pressure everywhere. I don't care where you're playing. If you're playing in that game seven and you're in Columbus, there's pressure to win. Okay. You know, the only pressure that we should feel is right inside the locker room from each other. That's honestly my opinion.
Why is it always them against the pressure of the fans? It's just, we've talked about this before, but it's just such a...
Well, no, it starts there, though. It starts there.
I know, but
it starts with being accountable beside the guy that you're getting dressed with, Sammy.
Which I totally understand.
Yeah, and that's all, and that's all Craig's talking about.
And it should be. And I should understand that. At the end of the day, that's the most important thing. If you're going to win, you have to love the guys you're in the locker room that you're about to go to battle with against the Florida Panthers. I understand that. But at the same time, like, you do kind of have to know that this means a lot to people. And, like, saying that you're blocking them out or, like, that doesn't get inside the room, having that be, like, one of the mission statements of your team for 9 years really pisses people off.
It's actually funny to use that energy. We channel that.
I see what you're saying. And it's dismissive of him to exclude everybody outside the locker room.
And quite frankly, it's leading to a lot of people that are pretty sick of this stuff with, like, us against the fans. And, you know, like, they barely said the word fans today. Like, I listened to everything. Yeah. I bet you they said fans two times out of every single person. And it's like, listen, I know the fans don't win any games. They don't play any. But, like, that's the like, it matters. This is a big-time club with the biggest fan base in the sport. Mm-hmm. They should have some bearing on what you do. You should have some pride. I'm sorry.
Would have been nice if one of them say, We're sorry we disappointed you.
But they've never said that.
I know.
Ever.
I know you're right.
Ever.
Sam, I can sit here and tell you I see your point of view.
Thank you. That's 100%. All I need to hear. I'll shut up.
you know, because of my world and where I've come from, and maybe the players are the same way. They forget that. Maybe it's someone like you. Someone like you is the perfect person to remind them of that.
But you know what?
You just did it to me.
But
Kip, I'm torn on this because I've, you know, spent time with recent NHLers who I've heard say the fans aren't owed anything. You know, they get to be.
Oh gosh,
they pay
tickets to come and see.
Right,
you.
They pay your salary.
They are owed an honest effort.
Okay.
Don't, Justin, please tell me whoever says that to you, you just tell them that.
Yeah.
Okay. They paid good money, and in Toronto because the prices are so exorbitant, it's even harder.
Yeah.
That's what's happened here is people don't mind paying $1,200 to sit in the upper row.
To see a giver.
But not for that. Mm-hmm. That's a big issue right now.
Like, would it absolutely kill the captain of the Maple Leafs to come out and be like, we know how bad you want it, and we're sorry what happened the other night. It wasn't good enough. We want to be better. Like, do you know how far that would go?
Yeah.
And it's just, I talked about this yesterday.
It wouldn't hurt.
Yes. And like, it's just never, ever, they've never seemed to care outwardly about letting us down.
I feel like it's, you know, take it for granted, right? You're going to be back next year.
Guess what?
Yeah.
Bang on.
Yeah.
And I feel like the Toronto Maple Leafs, the organization, the ticket prices, all that stuff, they could use a little bit of less loyalty, like I talked about yesterday, where they just know.
I do think that wears thin eventually. Like, you know, people won't keep coming back forever.
How many? Feels like they weren't going to come back.
That's true.
Feels like they would have been around this time. So I don't know. It just feels like they don't.
Where do you guys want to go? You want to stick with Austin? Did he mention injuries?
He did talk about injuries today.
Is that a big story?
I mean, all this stuff is whatever. Like, it's all varying degrees, but we can listen to Matthew's clip on his injuries. Clip one, please, Derek.
Yeah, it was tough. Definitely, physically, it was a very tough season. I don't, need to get into, like, the specifics of stuff, but, got injured in training camp. Obviously wasn't feeling great throughout the first month or so of the season. Took some time off, went to Germany, did all these things to try to feel better, and then, just kind of in a place that, felt like I can manage it. There was obviously some, good stretches where I felt good. There were some stretches where I didn't feel very good. Definitely a tough year physically, but I'm, confident with some time off and just, going through, my own process and stuff like that and treatment and everything. I'm really confident I'll be back 100%, next season, and there's nothing really to worry about.
Can you share with us what happened, or you'd like to be private?
Yeah, I'm just going to keep it between myself.
Did it impact your ability
to shoot? It impacted everything.
That's what it impacted everything?
So I think it impacted a lot of different things for sure.
And then there's another part where, again, Luke Fox, who's coming up here, asked him, what is the reason that you won't tell us, basically? Mm-hmm. Which is a very fair question, and it's like, and his response was, because I can.
Do you think if he's going to go down the path of telling you how difficult it was or when it happened that, you're just, you might as well just go all the way with the truthfulness? Somebody told me Chris Tanev came out and talked more specifically about
He said he had a sternoclavicular injury during the season where his sternum meets his clavicle, and it was a struggle, but
how come it's easy for him to say that and Matthews can't do the same?
I don't know.
It's like,
by the Matthews way, I've had a sternoclavicular injury, and it is.
I'm
I
not
still
even
feel
attempt to pronounce
sternoclavicular.
That.
I still can't do push-ups without
chest.
I can't do push-ups for different reasons than that.
Collarbone.
But like, you think he's worried about getting targeted, I guess. That's what Matthew said. But like, Tanev took 110 hits in the playoffs. They were targeting him every shift.
You know what Matthew sounds like to me? He sounds like your teenager who you're not sure what they did the night before, and they're trying to explain their night without giving you any specifics. They're going, we just went out with some friends and we were downtown for a bit, and then we went back to Dave's house. What'd you do?
There's a skunk in the area, and it's the smell of it stuck to my clothes for some reason. I don't know.
I've got bad allergies today.
My eyes are really red. It's killing me.
I think maybe it might be an injury that could hold a stigma.
Because it's like play-throughable type of thing? Is that what you think?
We did play through it.
Yeah. But okay. For instance, and again, I know we've talked about this, but it's always been speculated, and I'll continue to speculate here. I don't know what his injury is, but if he has back issues, and he says, I had back issues, then every time he goes through stretches, it will arise. He's got back issues.
Mm-hmm.
And When you got a shoulder injury and it heals in 4 to 6 weeks, it kind of disappears. But players with back issues...
Just have back issues.
Will always have back issues.
Yeah, that ain't going away.
They don't go away. And it keeps... And, like, Wendell's the perfect example, guys. Like, here's a guy that was great in Toronto, and they had back issues, and it shut down his career, okay? And it never went away. And I don't know, maybe he's worried that if he comes out and publicly says that, then he's going to have this, he's got back issues the rest of his career.
Well, it also, that could actually affect his bottom line, right? Like, if you're negotiating your next contract as a UFA or whatever it is, and people go, hey,
yes,
he's got back issues.
You're right.
You know? Like,
a guy with back issues.
Yeah.
Back issues is... like the biggest red flag. If you're going to sign somebody to a contract,
you're right.
Like back issues.
You're right.
It's like knee and back are the two things.
I would suspect that he had advice to say, you know, don't say it. Mm-hmm. If he's got back issues, mm-hmm. I don't know what he has.
Who knows?
I had also heard that the wrist thing is like, you know, on and off and can flare up. And so,
We got a couple more minutes. We have not addressed any talk about Brendan Shanahan. That seems to be out in the open. I went on Sportsnet Central with Ivanka and Ken. I said I don't expect him back, but love your thoughts, guys.
I mean, I'm just not super informed. You know, like to me, it's logically, if you're talking about having seen through a plan to what you think might be the end of it, it didn't work. And if you'd like to go in a different direction, then sure.
Well, what would you like to see? You like to see him back or you think it's time to move on?
You know, and I know this sucks for radio. I'm not passionate about this. I think he is run a good organization, right? They consistently make playoffs. They haven't had scandals. He handles himself with professionalism. I don't think that they have reached the goal that the plan was set out to reach. And so, you know, you said yesterday, you talked about, you know, is MLSE just content with making playoffs or whatever? You think it does matter to them? Like, I think they would look at his tenure with some contentedness that it has gone well.
I yes, you're right.
And I think a lot of fans would say, but we're not any closer to what the goal is supposed to be. It's been 11 years. Let someone else try.
Where do you think Leaf Nation is at trying again or
I think
re-signing Brendan Shanahan to a new contract?
Regardless of how much of all of this failure in the playoffs is his responsibility, I think at this point now, he is sort of a face of it, a figurehead of it, if you will, mm-hmm. where a lot of the Leafs Nation would be, if you brought him back another year or he signed another contract to be the president of the Leafs for a longer term, a lot of Leaf fans would have a lot of pushback to that just because it's just what it represents and the failures in big games and the lack of
and
seeming
acceptance
heart.
Of mediocrity.
Exactly. But, like, I don't know. You know, the grass is always greener here, boys. You could let Brendan Shanahan go. They bring somebody else, and it may not work. I have no idea. But I think he probably will go. I can't imagine. I don't know. I have no – I'm the least informed person on this. But I'm just saying
well, – you don't need to be – you just need to be
– I just think it's got to be over.
Just your opinion right
I think it's got to be over. Like, I can't imagine everybody just being like, yeah, let's do it again. I mean, if Marner's going, if Tavares is going, like, it feels like a pretty natural trio.
The only thing, the other thing we have to consider too is that there's a major shift in ownership now, and we know where that's heading with our bosses on the top floor here.
Yeah.
And if there's going to be a change in ownership, then this would probably be the best time to make other changes.
Yeah,
moving forward as well.
Yep.
I mean, are we going to keep hearing MLSE? Is there going to be a new name to the company? Like, so many changes could happen based on these results.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, Kip. Well, so you think it's likely that he would go?
I'm expecting changes.
Yes.
Yes.
And so, if that happens, I am curious what effect that could have beneath it. You know, we often see, you know, a new GM wants to get his own head coach. Like, Treliving's done, I think, a pretty universally accepted great job here, mm-hmm. right? Like, you know, Carlo and Tana have remade the defense, and I think people are generally happy with the job he's done in just two short years.
Again, I have no knowledge. This is not inside information. This is not anything like that. But I have a sense that we could see the disappearance of the president of hockey ops. We could just see it to the point where Brendan, we've mutually decided to part ways, or we're not extending a new contract out, and we just see that position disappear.
Yeah,
and Brad Treliving goes on as normal as a general manager. And
there's a new president
a new coach.
The company, right?
No, there is a president already. His name's Keith Pelley.
Right. So Keith Pelley hangs onto that spot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's it. And, like, if that's the case and they go consistent, then there's a basketball guy too, Masai. Yeah. I don't know whether or not he keeps his president's job. Right. Like, again, if they're going to restructure, maybe now's the time to do it.
You know, I think it's really weird how hockey teams have created this president role above the GM. Was the GM. He made all the decisions on trades forever. And then in the last like few years, the president is now a hockey guy. President used to mean you dealt with the tickets and the, you know, the marketing and all that stuff. And now it's like, it's the GM's
and
supervisor.
And they got to evaluate that. Brendan Shanahan was one of the highest paid executives in the National Hockey League.
Right.
But to your point, you know, where's the value of having a guy oversee a guy who's not making all the decisions on his own and has you to put a stamp of approval on it? Because let's face it, I mean, the buck stopped with Brendan Shanahan. Whether it was Kyle Dubas, Lou Lamoriello, Bob, or Babcock, or anybody else, everything had to go through the guy that had the two hands on the wheel.
Buddy, when I was with the Marlies, we had games where Shanny would be sitting in there with the penalty kill with us and going, here's like the rotation you guys are using. This guy's got to do, like, you know, he was hands-on. He was around.
He was it.
Yeah.
He was it. And until he's gone, he's still it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know whether or not they want to pay big bucks for that anymore.
Right.
We should go, but it feels like we'd probably get some news on this somewhat soon, wouldn't you? If something's going to happen.
I believe that they won't let this go
too long.
Too long. Okay. I think by the end of the week, we should have some sort of understanding whether Brendan Shanahan is still a part of this or not.
Yeah, okay. Like, even if whatever their decision, there probably needs to be a statement of that decision. Even if it's, hey, we've extended them, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, let's go.
All right, we'll take a quick break. When we return, Luke Fox, Leafs and NHL writer for Sportsnet.ca, will join us. He was at the rink. We'll get his thoughts on where the Leafs go from here. That and more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. All right.
Hold on. Quickly, before we've already been kept Luke waiting too long. We yakked so long that first block. But I just wanted to say, a reminder to golf fans out there, Sportsnet and Muskoka Bay Resort have come together with an amazing contest. Text the word Muskoka to 59590 for your chance to golf at one of Canada's top 10 ranked courses with a night in an incredible three-bedroom villa for you and three friends. Just text the word Muskoka to 59590 for your chance to win. Visit sportsnet.ca/590contest for more details. Standard message and data rates may apply.
Good reading, Samuel.
Thank you, buddy.
Yep, that was well done.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, regular contributor to our show, does a terrific job all season long. Luke Fox will join us now. Luke, how are you, pal?
Doing pretty good.
Did you bother going down to locker room clean out? Or did you just look at your notes from last year?
I wasted the gas and put on a suit. Yeah, I went through the whole thing, lived Groundhog Day. So my ninth locker clean out in a row that they all blur together at this point, Nick.
So in saying that, what was the biggest takeaway that you had today?
it's tough. There were little things. You know, I loved Matthew Knies's response when someone brought up the term offer sheet, and he just, you know, shot that down right away, saying how he believes his best chance to win is as a Maple Leaf, and that's why he's coming back. He didn't get into the term that he wanted, but I like how definitive he was about that. So I know there's some fans that we're worried about that. I think you can put that to rest. Mitch Marner continues to talk about his time as a Leaf in the past tense. I think we've all read the tea leaves there, and that ship has sailed. John Tavares said that he already talked to Berube and Tree Living and had positive feedback and was optimistic about re-signing.
Yeah.
The trick there is, are we 100% sure that Tree Living's coming back? You know, like, they haven't set a date for the management press conference, which will be the last one we go to. And from what I'm hearing, they're still making decisions and there could be changes way up top. So I think what's going to be even more interesting compared to what the players have to say, which is kind of like last day of school, you're not going to change your grade on the last day of school. Say some stuff, get out of there. I think what's more interesting is what happens above them.
Yeah, that is interesting. So there's not really a world, I don't think, where they just say, you know, Brad Treliving doesn't come back because of performance necessarily. So much as just like changes at the top could affect people. Is that my understanding there?
Yeah, I think for the most part, you know, the performance was good. There's things on the fringes, like, you know, signing Yanni Hakanpaa. And there's little things you can nitpick, but he completely remolded the decor. I really love the blue line. The Chris Tanev signing was a stroke of brilliance. And that was his top priority in free agency last year. You know, dealing with the core four, he was kind of, his hands were tied in the no move clauses. He improved the goaltending. You know, the Leafs are going to go in with one of the cheapest, best goaltending tandems again next year. So he's done a lot of good things. I think it's more so the whole team is under new ownership in Rogers that calls the shots and doesn't have to go to a board or through Larry Tannenbaum anymore. And the fact that Shanahan's contract is up. And if you're making changes top down, I think it's a sense of everything's on the table.
Yeah, I just talking about, you know, the decision on whether to keep Brendan or not, that's one thing. But to kind of wipe out Brendan and Treliving and then leaving Berube to a new decision maker, to me, very seldom happens. So I believe if there is one change, it would be Brendan without completely, and that might just be enough to eliminate that job title and keep Treliving. And I think you're right. I think he hasn't had enough time. Like we're talking about a stretch of 10 years with Brendan Shanahan, but we're only talking a stretch of two for Treliving. And we're all in agreement that the changes were changes for the better. They just happened too late under the Shanahan plan.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Nick. I think his performance has earned him another shot. And I feel like, yeah, he's been here 2 years, but it really only feels like 1 year that he got to make his stamp. 1 year with the coach he went and chose. 1 year with the blue line that he actually really likes. So I absolutely believe that he deserves another chance. I'm just saying the sense I'm getting is there could be a lot of changes, and maybe it's not him. Maybe it's an assistant GM, but I feel like it might go beyond just Shanahan.
All right. Well, that's going to be fascinating to keep an eye on. Something we didn't get to in the first hour was the goaltending. Anthony Stolarz, he had a concussion. Doesn't think it was the first puck is my understanding there. What did Stolarz have to say about his injury in the postseason?
Yeah, he was pretty adamant about that. Borny, he said, you know, I've taken so many shots off the mask, and it was 45 minutes later. He was pretty clear that had nothing to do with it in his mind. And, you know, it's his head. I trust him. But he also said that, you know, Sam Bennett, ex-teammate of his, went to the same Stanley Cup parade as him. He said he didn't think it was malicious. He talked to him after, wished him luck. And he was even asked, you know, how would you feel about these nasty guys, Bennett and Ekblad, free agents, how would you feel about them joining the Leafs next year? And he said he'd be fine with that. So, you know,
everyone loves winning.
And it's actually a really smart way. Whether he believes it or not is another story, but it's a smart thing to say.
You're watching Luke Fox from the Leafs, sportsnet.ca, covering today's festivities down at Scotiabank Arena. Let me ask you something, just staying on the goaltending. Luke, were you surprised to see Stolarz backing up game 7? Like, one came out of the blue for me.
It was a stunner because we go to morning skate at game 7. He doesn't even have a stall. He doesn't participate in morning skate. Now, maybe he skated out in the practice facility, but Hildeby and Murray were right there. He had never had a team practice. It was just solo work with Curtis Sanford. What if Joseph Woll, you know, tweaked a knee in the first period? You're throwing in a guy that's pretty cold. I was a little surprised. Now, he said it's because he was good to go. I wonder if there was a little bit of emotion for the boys. Hey, look who's back in the locker room all of a sudden. We're going out here. I wonder if maybe that was a bit of it, or just Berube would rather an unpracticed Stolarz over his other options.
Honestly, if it was that emotional part that you're talking about, I would have put him in at 3-0.
You know, it's not an unreasonable point. He's there. Maybe put him in.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
Didn't happen.
Change the momentum, something. Yeah. I mean,
listen,
I felt like over once they got to two.
I know you're right.
Look, I'm not sure how much you've caught earlier in our show, but our Sammy McKee made a plea that he didn't think that there was enough sincerity from the players to, I don't know if Sammy, if I'm putting words in your mouth, but almost apologize to the fans.
Well, did you more like just recognize what the fans have been through over the last little bit?
Did you get a sense that, you know, people might be looking for that, or they were going out of their way to avoid it? What were your overall vibes on that connection?
I feel like the fans are looking for some of that. And I feel like the lack of that, not just today, but over the course of years, has created this really strange and, to me, very unnecessary divide between the players and the people who adore them. I hate the word noise, the outside noise. Let's replace that with caring. Imagine you said every time, we're trying to ignore the caring. We're trying to block up the caring.
People are too interested.
How would that go over? Because that's what the noise is. It's people who are talking about your team.
Okay, hold on for a second. Hold on for a second. Can me and you spend 5 minutes on social media? And can I show you clips of what you call caring?
There's some hate caring going on.
Yeah.
Really? Sure, really? Sure. Really? Like, I know what you're trying to say, but it's vicious out there for some of them and their families.
Yes, I recognize that.
Okay.
But I think those are some bad vocal apples. Like, I talk to Leaf fans every day of my life. A lot of them just want to debate different things that are going on with the team, signings, how are they playing, can they win? They just kind of love them unconditionally. For sure, they're, you know, online is a dangerous place to go, Nick. But I agree. There is some criticism out there. But I think by and large, a lot of it is people who are supporting the team that are investing their money in really expensive tickets.
Maybe they should just address them only.
Separate those other people somehow. So you said Tavares mentioned that he's positive about the, you know, potential of another contract. What do you think that hinges on?
Well, let's see who's running the team first.
Okay. And, good point.
Yeah. And then go from there. And I think a lot of it will be how much is he willing to bend? Mm-hmm. You know, we know he'll take a little bit less, but Steven Stamkos wanted to stay. But there comes a point where there's a pride in the dollar figure you accept.
Yeah.
He wants to stay. His family's here. He's made it very clear. But even someone who wants to stay has set.
Why don't you take the minimum then and just leave it all to getting a defenseman?
That's what I'm saying. He's not Jason Spezza, right?
37-year-old.
He scored 38 last year.
I know, 38.
Joe Pavelski scored 36 or something at his age and got 3x7 the next year.
Anyways, hey, we got all week to debate that. Luke, we got to go, buddy. Sammy's waving me off like an 0-2 fastball right now.
Okay, see you guys.
Thanks for joining us, eh?
Thanks, right. Luke.
Luke Fox, sportsnet.ca. But we were sat here and said, what are we going to talk about? And it's like,
we could have done a 3-hour show. Well, I have so many more things.
Well, good. We got another hour tomorrow.
Quickly, before we gotta go. People say really mean stuff online about every walk of life.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, that's, I mean, being like, oh, they're mean on Twitter at least, they're mean on Instagram at least. Every single player on every single fan base that's a big one gets the exact same stuff. So it's not unique to Toronto.
All right.
And there's meanies everywhere.
All right.
There's meanies everywhere. Booze bag today.
They're all your friends, Sammy.
Buddy, my DMs are a wasteland.
Right.
Anyways.
Okay. We're going to take another crack at it tomorrow on Leaf Edition.
All right.
On behalf
to solve something.
Yes, we do.
In the meantime, let's go national next with Steve Valiquette, analyst for the Rangers, CEO, Clearsight Analytics. I can't wait to hear his numbers, the data. Tell me, useful or useless? Next on Real Kipper and Bourne.